Governor Ned Lamont's order, executive order, it's number 7X, includes a provision taking the following actions to protect residential renters during the public health crisis. All landlords are prohibited from issuing a notice to quit or beginning eviction proceedings before July 1st, 2020, except for serious nuisance such as physically harming another tenant or the landlord. For rent due in April 2020, landlords must grant tenants an automatic 60-day grace period for payment instead of the existing 9-day grace period. For rent due May 2020, landlords must grant a 60-day grace period for payment upon the request of tenants. Under this provision, a tenant must notify the landlord that they have lost their job, lost hours, or otherwise lost revenue or face significant increased expenses as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. If a tenant has a paid security deposit of more than 1 month's rent, the tenant can apply all or part of that excess to April, May, or June's rent. Under this provision, the tenant must notify the landlord that they have lost a job, lost hours, or otherwise lost revenue or faced significant increased expenses as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. To talk about more of these executive orders issued by Governor Ned Lamont is our next guest. She represents the town. What is it, town or city, when we talk about Bristol? City? Well, it's not like a Hartford or a New Haven or a Bridgeport, but it's large. It's larger than like a suburban town. What are those in-between towns called? Well, maybe we'll ask her. State Representative Kara Pavlock. Hey, Kara, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Nice to hear from you.
You too. Thanks for having me on.
How are things in the town or city of Bristol? Which is it? Is it a town? Is it a city? What is it?
It is a city.
It is a city. Kind of like New Britain, right? Where it's not huge, but it's larger than your average town. Okay. Like,
yes, we have about 60,000 residents.
Oh, really? 60,000, huh?
Yes.
And I know you split that with Representative Whitbetz, right?
Correct.
And there is
also Representative Chris Ziogas.
Oh, Ziogas, that's right. Yeah. That's right. I think of Nicastro sometimes. Oh, no.
Yes, the good old days.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, how's he doing, by the way?
He's doing well.
Good.
Very well.
Good. And how's Whit? We've actually had Whit on. We haven't had him on in a while, but how's he doing?
Whit is doing great. I just talked to him the other day, and he has been helping distribute masks across the state of Connecticut. Delivered some to Bristol Hospital a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
Through that Masks for Heroes, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
I know Patrick Sasser has had a big role in that.
Yes, he has.
Distribute.
Yeah.
So that's every, and of course, serving our constituents. The whole COVID-19 pandemic has been keeping us busy trying to, help people with their unemployment claims and small business issues and just pretty much everything really weighing on them now. So,
with the legislature not being in, do you find yourself just as busy because of helping out your constituents through this ordeal that we've been dealt?
If not even busier, only because it's a lot of people, a lot of issues coming at you at once. On top of I'm still working, but now I have my son at home,
mm-hmm.
So it's trying to do all of that in one day. And so it's been a lot of late nights. I know my husband is, he said this is just like being in session because I'm up just as late still doing work.
Well, and Tony, your husband, he's a busy guy regardless.
Yeah, see, doing construction, they're still open, and he does have a lot of employees working from home now.
Yeah.
But he had to get that system up and running, so he has been going to work and still going full time.
Yeah. Tell Tony I said hello. So I just read a little bit about the Governor Ned Lamont's executive order when it comes to landlords and tenants. And if you're a tenant, boy, let me tell you, this is right. You can't complain. This is great. This is awesome. If you're a landlord, though, I would imagine it's going to be very tough because, let's face it, a lot of these landlords own, they're not just landlords, they a lot of them own the actual building or house, if it's a multifamily, and they still have their monthly nut, you know, they still have the mortgage on their house, although there have been some programs that have been extended to, you know, from the banks in concert with the feds to help them out also. What's your take on this executive order?
Well, a lot of those programs, now, and remember, I do foreclosure defense, so I am pretty familiar with a lot of issues surrounding mortgages, foreclosures, but those programs are mainly for, number one, FHA loans, and then also, therefore, residential. They're not necessarily for commercial loans. And so if this is an investment property, again, that isn't necessarily covered. But that kind of goes to my main problem with that executive order was that, you know, the governor reached out to the banks to reach a voluntary agreement with them that would, where they agreed not to initiate foreclosures and work with mortgage borrowers to delay their loans, and yet with the landlords, instead of reaching out to them, coming up with an agreement, he issues this executive order without consulting with them and not really finding out how this executive order affects them and how they run their businesses and how damaging this can be.
So when you say it's not for commercial, and yet you're a landlord, that means that the landlord would have to be living in that dwelling, correct?
Well, even that, if they're, I mean, I guess it depends. There's so many different ways that it can be set up. You know, I don't know if they're renting a room out or if it's a multiplex, but I would say probably most landlords don't necessarily live in where they're renting out their and have their leases. But a lot of them are mom and pops and small businesses, and they do have mortgages on those investment properties, and they still have to pay them. They also have expenses associated with them, like sewage, water, electrical, if that's included. And not all of these things are paid by the tenant separately. A lot of times they're included in the rent. And so if they're not paying rent right now, they're not able to pay those expenses, which actually puts them in violation of other statutes, Connecticut statutes.
Well, my goodness. These provisions then that the governor had made in his press conference late last week, I think it was Friday, they don't necessarily apply to every tenant then, correct?
Well, it depends. You know, again, the person has to have decreased income or increased expenses due to the pandemic, but they don't. There isn't anywhere that requires proof or showing the landlord of that. It's just simply a request. In addition, you know, we have landlords who and tenants who stopped paying, let's say, before April, before March. And before this pandemic, before they were possibly laid off. And now the landlords can't even access the courts to evict people who stopped paying long before this this outbreak.
Oh, I see. Oh, my goodness.
Sure.
So how does this situation then get corrected?
You know, I have talked to many landlords at this point, many tenants. I just talked to a tenant yesterday who his landlord is offering to take off $200 of the monthly rent if people paid on time. And, you know, I think it really should, instead of requiring and putting this in an executive order, you know, I don't think the government should be interfering in these private contracts. You know, no landlord doesn't want, they don't want a tenant not to pay, and they don't want to make the situation harder for them. A lot of landlords are working with their tenants voluntarily. They don't need the government to tell them what to do, but a lot of tenants are under the assumption that they don't have to pay the rent ever, not realizing that in a couple months, they're going to have to come up with all that rent at once. And that's just going to put them in an even worse situation.
That's a good point. Although I think I heard or read somewhere that they can apply a security deposit towards it, right?
That is correct, too. And so now, again, you're at the in the situation where if there needs to be repairs, the landlord can't necessarily recover for that. And the landlord can't ask for that security deposit until after the pandemic or when the lease is renewed. So, again, you know, if the pandemic ends, the landlord says, hey, you know, you need to pay me that security deposit now, then, you know, again, this is just more money all at once that the tenant is going to have to come up with. Now, hopefully, of course, the landlord spreads it out. But, you know, depending on what the landlord's expenses are, that might not be feasible either.
You know, I'm trying to look at this fairly. And not be biased towards, you know, tenant. Because the landlord, they're sticking their neck out there. Landlords have bills themselves, you know, and they've got other responsibilities and they've got other creditors that they must pay and be responsible with. Okay, so let's look at this objectively and fairly. What if somebody did lose their job? Even if it's just temporarily. And they've got no income, or what little stimulus that they're getting is covering, you know, food and you know, they're throwing their landlord maybe a few bucks, but maybe not the entire $1,200 because you got to put food on the table if you got kids and you know, what is a fair and equitable solution to this in your opinion?
Well, there are resources for landlords who, you know, in that sense, they're basically self-employed individuals. And so there is the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program through the SBA. And a landlord can apply for that loan directly with the SBA and get an amount. I believe it's up to $120,000, but don't quote me on that. And there's other resources. A self-employed individual actually now can also apply for unemployment with the Department of Labor.
The landlord can?
A self-employed individual. So if the Department of Labor considers that landlord a self-employed individual and they have the paperwork, then they can definitely apply. If I can put in a plug, by the way, there is a webinar tomorrow for unemployment benefits.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
4:16 at 11 a.m. and it's on the Connecticut Department of Labor website.
Mm-hmm.
Allowing unemployed, self-employed individuals actually was handed down by the federal government. Connecticut system, you know, originally didn't provide for that. So they're actually trying to update their system. And of course, updates happen daily. And so I think that should be up in a couple weeks. So that should be ready to accommodate self-employed individuals. But again, it is slightly delayed due to program changes. But our Department of Labor is working very hard to process all these claims. And, you know, I really applaud them for their tireless work.
No, I do, too. And we've been working very, oh, my goodness. We're trying to get somebody from the Department of Labor to come on the show with us. And we actually had somebody all scheduled and like was the day before or whatever it was. Maybe it was 2 days. I don't recall. This was a couple of weeks ago. They said, we're not going to cancel, but we got to postpone it because they're understaffed and way overworked. And they couldn't get anybody, you know, to fill in. And I'm like, well, no, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to talk to the guy who sweeps the floors. I want to talk to, you know, and he says, yeah, exactly. We'll have to get back. And we're trying to get them back on, actually. But because there's a lot of questions that people have, myself included, that would like to ask them and hopefully get people's questions answered, you know, quicker, sooner rather than later. So I wasn't aware, and I think most people aren't aware of these neither, that there are actually programs that are available for these landlords through, you know.
There are, again, it does come down to providing the correct and adequate documentation. Again, I can't guarantee that somebody is going to be covered and that they'll fit into the requirements, but it doesn't hurt to try and ask. And you know, reach out to your either state representative, there's so much information, Gary, coming at us every day. It's you know, very hard to keep up. But, you know, that's, you know, while we're processing this information, we're also trying to get it out there. but don't hesitate to just reach out and ask. You know, our web pages, Department of Labor web page, frequently asked questions. The governor's web page as well has a lot of these resources, and you can go to them and find out, you know, what category you fit in, whether it's unemployed, whether it's FMLA. There's a whole bunch of resources out there, and I know it is difficult to navigate, but, you know, just don't hesitate to ask.
Yeah, about a week or so ago, I was talking with a person who rents, you know, and it's not an apartment. There is a landlord. He rents, I don't know, it's a three-bedroom home, and he's got, you know, a multi, what is it, not a duplex, but like a multi-level home, yeah, or something like that. Yeah, and he's got the middle floor, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, he goes, I'm a go-getter. I'll land on my feet. I'm very versatile, and I'm experienced and educated. I'll be all right. You know, so I'll just look at this next couple of months, and I'll be looking for something. He says, but, and I got a little bit of a savings, but I've got to, I'm worried about myself temporarily, not in the long term. And mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's good that these programs and this delay or deferment, if you will, are available to him. And I think that was the impetus behind it. But you know what? Landlords also have rights, and they also have responsibilities as well. Not all landlords, own their building, or if they do, if they're the name that's on the deed, a lot of them still have mortgages on them. You know, they still have a note on them. I've only got about 30 seconds left, so I'll hand that to you, Kara.
You know, again, I encourage landlords to reach out to your lender. Work with your lender. You know, ask. It doesn't hurt to ask and find out what is available. A lot of them will work with you. And same for tenants. Reach out to your landlord. Your landlord will work with you. He or she wants to keep you in there.
Great.
So, again, just call and ask.
Great advice. Really, really. I mean, really, most people won't even think of something to do something that simple. But can't thank you enough, Kara.
Thank you.
I appreciate you being with us this morning. Have a great day.